Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and the distinct honor of presenting to you the President of the United States.
Thank you. You did that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, distinguished members of Congress, honored guests and fellow citizens. May I congratulate all of you who are members of this historic 100th Congress of the United States of America. In this 200th anniversary year of our Constitution, you and I stand on the shoulders of giants, men whose words and deeds put wind in the sails of freedom. However, we must always remember that our Constitution is to be celebrated not for being old, but for being young. Young with the same energy, spirit, and promise that filled each eventful day in Philadelphia State House. We will be guided tonight by their acts, and we will be guided forever by their words. Now, forgive me, but I can't resist sharing a story from those historic days. Philadelphia was bursting with civic pride in the spring of 1787, and its newspapers began embellishing the arrival of the convention delegates with elaborate social classifications. Governors of states were called Excellency. Justices and chancellors had reserved for them honorable with a capital H. For congressmen, it was honorable with a small h. And all others were referred to as the following respectable characters. Well, for this 100th Congress, I invoke special executive powers to declare that each of you must never be titled less than honorable with a capital H. Incidentally, I'm delighted you are celebrating the 100th birthday of the Congress. It's always a pleasure to congratulate someone with more birthdays than I've had. Now, there's a new face at this place of honor tonight, and please join me in warm congratulations to the Speaker of the House, Jim Wright. Mr. Speaker, you might recall a similar situation in your very first session of Congress 32 years ago. Then, as now, the speakership had changed hands, and another great son of Texas, Sam Rayburn. Mr. Sam, sat in your chair. I cannot find better words than those used by President Eisenhower that evening. He said, "We shall have much to do together. I am sure that we will get it done, and that we shall do it in harmony and goodwill." Tonight, I renew that pledge to you, Mr. Speaker, and to Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd, who brings 34 years of distinguished service to the Congress, may I say, though there are changes in the Congress, America's interests remain the same. And I am confident that along with Republican leaders Bob Michael and Bob Dole, this Congress can make history. 6 years ago. Six years ago, I was here to ask the Congress to join me in America's new beginning. Well, the results are something of which we can all be proud. Our inflation rate is now the lowest in a quarter of a century. The prime interest rate has fallen from the 21.5% the month before we took office to 7.5% today, and those rates have triggered the most housing starts in 8 years. The unemployment rate, still too high, is the lowest in nearly 7 years. And our people have created nearly 13 million new jobs. Over 61% of everyone over the age of 16, male and female, is employed, the highest percentage on record. Let's roll up our sleeves and go to work and put America's economic engine at full throttle. We can also be heartened by our progress across the world. Most important, America is at peace tonight, and freedom is on the march. And we've done much these past years to restore our defenses, our alliances, and our leadership in the world. Our sons and daughters in the services once again wear their uniforms with pride. But though we've made much progress, I have one major regret. I took a risk with regard to our action in Iran. It did not work, and for that I assume full responsibility. The goals were worthy. I do not believe it was wrong to try to establish contacts with a country of strategic importance or to try to save lives. And certainly it was not wrong to try to secure freedom for our citizens held in barbaric captivity. We did not achieve what we wished, and serious mistakes were made in trying to do so. We will get to the bottom of this, and I will take whatever action is called for. But in debating the past, we must not deny ourselves the successes of the future. Let it never be said of this generation of Americans that we became so obsessed with failure that we refused to take risks that could further the cause of peace and freedom in the world. Much is at stake here, and the nation and the world are watching to see if we go forward together in the national interest or if we let partisanship weaken us. And let there be no mistake about American policy. We will not sit idly by if our interests or our friends in the Middle East are threatened, nor will we yield to terrorist blackmail. And now, ladies and gentlemen of the Congress, why don't we get to work?